Hallelujah. You got your Bibles this morning? John chapter 1, the title is going to be this morning, the John the Baptist testimony and the calling and the testimony of the first disciples. You say, well, that's a long title. Yes, it is. And it took me all week to come up with it. I just want you to know. Amen. Because sometimes, I'll tell you what, you got to read something over and you got to read it over and then you got to read it over. I read this no less than 10 times before God actually began to show stuff to me. I think sometimes He tests me. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Lord, I'm not leaving here until I get it. Because you know what? Those people are expecting to hear from you. So here I am. Amen. What a beautiful story. All right. So that's going to be the title this morning. I want to do a quick review because last week, for most people other than Sonny, he was a little bit confused. That's a private joke between me and Sonny. But what a great thing. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. And what else? All things that were made through Him, right? He was the light of life that came into the world, the light of all mankind. But the light came in the world, those He came to did not receive Him, or He was not received by His own. But it says, to all that did receive Him, He gave right to become the children of God. If you're a child of God this morning, say amen. Woo, hope you understand the consequences if you're not a child of God this morning. And last week we also talked about how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then last week we kind of closed out with that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? I look up and you may not be able to see it, but I see it. I see grace. Man, I look around, you know what I see? I see grace. Praise God for grace. I need grace, Lord. More and more grace upon grace. And whether you realize it or not, you need grace upon grace as well. Amen? All right, so the testimony of John the Baptist was the first part of this title. I want to share a couple things with you about John the Baptist because he's a special dude. Amen. Believe it or not, he was a special dude. A very, very special dude. And here's a couple verses. In Luke 1:15, when the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, his father, and tells him that, hey, Elizabeth is going to have a child, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to call his name John, amen, before he was born. But this is what he said. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit before he is even born. Listen to me. That's special. That's special. Not only that, but Jesus said this of John, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Think about that for a second. Everybody in here born of a woman? Well, it depends on which side of the aisle you're on these days. Because there's some people out there that believe you can be born of a man. Come on. Isn't that a compliment, though, of those born of women? No one greater has risen than John the Baptist. Amen? So he is special, and he was special. So as we get into this, I want you to understand that he was absolutely a prophecy. He was a prophecy in many ways, in more ways just than one. So if you got your Bibles, let's get started. We can't get finished till we get started. So we're going to read verses 19 through 28. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him then, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord, for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent, questioned him, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happens at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. So when you read through this, you know, what you see here in the context is the somebody sent the priests and the Levites, and I'm sure it was the leaders of the Jewish people, right? The priesthood and probably some Sadducees and some Pharisees, but they send them to John, and what are they doing? They're questioning John. And some of the questions that they ask him are, number one, are you Elijah? Number two, are you the prophet? And number three, they ask him a couple times, well, who are you? And you know, when we read through this, sometimes we just read through this and we think, well, Lord, what does this really mean? But sometimes we don't stop to try to understand what this really means, because these are not just random questions. These are not just these people asking John these questions for no reason. And that's what I want to explain to you this morning. What each one of these questions actually means, because then it will give you a full picture in the context of what's going on here in verses 19 through 28. Are you following me? Number one, they ask him, are you Elijah? Why would they ask him, are you Elijah? Well, you would have to go to the last book of the Old Testament, and that is Malachi, which would be the last book, and there would be a 400-year gap before the New Testament began. And in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says this, See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day the Lord comes. Now listen to this very closely. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So this is not a random question, because these Jews, these people believed that before the Messiah would come, Elijah would come first. And I want you to know, even today, when these Jews are celebrating their Passover meals, there is an empty chair with an empty plate with an empty cup sitting there, and most of them leave their doors open while they celebrate that Passover meal. And you know who they're expecting to come in? Elijah. That's how serious they were that Elijah must come first. But that is true. I mean, what Malachi says here is absolutely true. Elijah must come first. So now we're going to go back, and we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1 when Zechariah comes to, or the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, amen, while he's in the temple burning incense, and he comes to him and says, hey, I know Elizabeth is barren, but you know what? You're going to have a child, and you're going to name that child John. Now listen to what the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah about this child that would be born to him. Listen very carefully. Luke 1, 16 and 17. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Listen to this part. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children. Come on, you make the connection here? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people for the Lord. Amen. You say, Pastor, that's all well and good. And I know that Malachi said that Elijah must come first. And I know that here it says that, you know, Zechariah was told by the angel Gabriel that John would come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. But that doesn't really tie it all together. I'm glad you asked. You remember the transfiguration? A beautiful time when Jesus took up on a mountain with him Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says it was there that Jesus transfigured and that his face became like the sun and his clothes were as bright as the white light. Amen? If you remember too, this is where God spoke again. And he said the same thing that he said at the baptism. He said, "This is my son whom I love and am well pleased." Well, these three, you know, right off the bat, they start with saying, "You want us to make a tabernacle? You want us to make something for these, for because who showed up there? Moses and Elijah showed up at the Transfiguration. The Bible says clearly that Jesus was talking to these two. Now, when God spoke, these three apostles freaked out. The Bible says they fell down, their face to the ground. I'm not saying for a minute that I wouldn't. Amen? But it was there because he talked to Elijah and he talked to Moses. I think that's what prompts this question, and it prompts this question in the context of the Transfiguration. Listen to me in Matthew chapter 17, verses 10 through 13. The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Listen closely. Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and restores all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, but they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything that they wished." Amen? Follow me. "In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Now listen to this. "Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist." Amen? Was John the Baptist Elijah? No. But did he come in the spirit and the power of Elijah? Absolutely, he did. He did because Zechariah, Gabriel, the angel, told his father that he would, and he did. So yes, in essence, at least in part, John the Baptist is the one that Malachi was talking about. Now, will Elijah play a different part in the end times? It's very possible, because a lot of people believe the two witnesses that come back, one of them is Elijah. But here's what I'm telling you, because Jesus told us right here that, hey, yes, I'm telling you that Elijah has already come, and they treated him the way they wanted to. And what did they do? They beheaded him. And Jesus also says in this exact same verse that they're going to treat him the exact same way. And that's what they did. Amen? So they weren't just asking a random question. This question mattered to the Jews. But here's what I want you to see. Here it is, the truth, right in their face. But they didn't recognize it. But they didn't recognize it. Amen? Right there, the truth, and they didn't recognize it. Let's look at the next question. Are you the prophet? What prophet? Why would they ask about the prophet? You remember we just went through the book of Numbers, right? And do anybody remember where they are at the end of Numbers? They're in Shittim. Yes, that's where they are, right? They're in Shittim. And they're getting ready to cross the promised land for the first time. They're going to go to Jericho, and they're going to start taking the land of Canaan that was promised to them, right? So in the context of that, in Deuteronomy, I want you to know Deuteronomy is like the second law. And what it is in Deuteronomy, Moses is just repeating to the new generation, you follow me? Because they all want to die off, all the laws and all the regulations and all the things that God had said. Now listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 18:15. This is what Moses said. "The Lord God will rise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Now listen, I want you to understand this. Between Moses and Jesus was almost 1,500 years. Everybody say 1,500 years. That's a lot of generations, isn't it? That's a lot of generations. But that is a prophecy that Moses speaks on behalf of God, saying, hey, God is going to raise up a prophet from among you. And listen, you know what he said? He said, be sure and listen to him. You must listen to him. So, I want you to know something. Even in Jesus' day, they were looking for this prophet. This prophet that Moses prophesied, right? And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? I can prove it to you. You remember when Jesus feeds the 5,000? You remember? Five loaves, two fish, right? He breaks it apart and it just never ends, and he feeds 5,000 men, which would really be 15, 20,000 people. And at the end of that, this is what John 6:14 says. Listen to this very closely. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." What prophet is he talking about? Talking about the prophet that Moses prophesied 1,500 years before. You know what's amazing to me? How they continued to pass that down. How they continued to pass that down, man. That word of God that was still, even 1,500 years later, that they could look at an event and say, "Hey, maybe this is the guy Moses spoke about." Amen? If you remember too, you remember Jesus, they were trying to kill Jesus. So some of the, it was a Feast of Tabernacles. Who remembers what the Feast of Tabernacles represents? That represents when you and I will tabernacle with the Lord forever. But for Israel, it meant that they would build these structures, these temporary structures, and they would live outside of their homes in these temporary structures for a whole week to remember their sovereign trip through the wilderness. Amen? So every year they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was that time of year when Jesus' friends and Jesus' disciples said, "Hey, let's go, man. You can speak and you can tell people what you want them to know and all that." And Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." So all of his friends and family, they go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, sometime later, Jesus goes to the temple and he begins to teach in the temple. And this is what Jesus taught about in John 7:37. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Are you thirsty this morning? "Whoever believes in him, as the scripture said, rivers of flowing water will flow out of him." Amen. I love that because you know what? That's one of them verses when you read, you have to check yourself. Because he said, "Whoever believes in me, rivers of flowing water will rush out of him," or flow out of him or her. Amen? You know what that means? That the Holy Spirit in your life will be evident. Amen. Hello? Is it? Is it? At least two of you agree. All right, but listen to what they said in John chapter 7, verse 40, after he spoke these words. "In hearing his words, some of the people said, 'Surely this man is the prophet.'" So even in Jesus' day, you follow me? They're still looking for this prophet. That's why they're asking these questions, because they know what the scripture says. You follow me? All right, you say, "Well, Pastor, who was that prophet? Anybody know?" Let's find out. You remember the story about Peter and John? This is after the death, after the burial, after the resurrection, after Jesus appears to 500 people, after Jesus ascends back to heaven, right? And Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. Anybody remember what happened? They get up to the steps, and there's this lame beggar, right? And he just holds up his cup like he's going to get something. And Peter and John, Peter says, "Look at us. Look at us." And he looks up like he's about to receive something. And this is what Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, get up and walk." Woo! Did he get up and walk? Yes. Bible says not only did he get up and walk, he went into the temple and was dancing around and praising the Lord. Well, because of that, Peter, it opens up an opportunity for Peter to be able to preach to the people. You see how God works? Not only did he heal that individual, but now he gives Peter an opportunity to speak to all the people who see this healed individual. Now listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 22. "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that the Messiah, his Messiah, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, when I read this verse, I thought, yeah, Lord, there is a refreshing that comes when I know my sins have been paid for. When I know my sins have been wiped out. Come on! There is a refreshing that comes with that. It said in verse 21, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Listen to verse 22. For Moses said, the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Amen? Who was that prophet? Jesus was that prophet. That prophet that Moses spoke about 1,500 years earlier, that was passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, to people who even seen Jesus do some things and said, hey, that might be or must be that prophet. We now know that prophet that Moses prophesied about to be none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen? So they weren't just asking a random question. They wanted to know because, hey, they knew that Elijah, Messiah. Come on. All right. Third question, who are you? Who are you and why are you baptizing? If you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, then who are you? I love the way John answers, right? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Let me read to you what Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3 says. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Amen? That was written, Isaiah was written 600 years before John appears on the scene. What a beautiful picture. So these aren't just random questions, but here's what I want you to know. They had all the answers. They had all the truths right in front of them. But they chose not to see it. They chose not to hear it. You follow me? Because everything happened just the way God said, and they chose not to believe it. Let me ask you something. When you're reading something, are you reading it to believe it? Or are you just reading it? Because the only way it'll change you is if you're reading it to believe it. You hear me? Understanding it won't change you. Knowing it won't change you. It's when you believe it that you make application to it, and it changes you. Amen? Are you following me? They had the truth, the salvation right in front of them. And they went to hell. You follow me? All right, let's move on to 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. Did you just hear John say he didn't know him? Oh no. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. Did he say that again? But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that he is God's chosen one. Amen. The first thing that jumps out at you here, if you know anything about the Bible, is John says two times, I did not know him. Now hold on, man. We know before they were even born, Mary went to Elizabeth's house, and by the way, they're relatives, so Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins, okay? So we know they grew up together. you remember the story where Mary went to visit Elizabeth and John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb as soon as Mary began to speak because she was pregnant with Jesus? I mean, these two would have grown up together. They would have known each other. So when John says, I didn't know him, that's not what he meant. John knew him, all right? But here's what he did mean. He's saying, I didn't know he was the Messiah. I didn't know he was the Christ. I didn't know that he was the one to come until the one who sent me to baptize. Let me tell you this first. He's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees. He's saying, hey, I didn't know him until the one who sent me to baptize, God, told me the one that I see the Spirit descending on, right? Did that happen to somebody? That happened to Jesus when John baptized him. What John is saying is, I didn't know till then, because that's what God had told me, that he was the Messiah and he was the chosen one. Amen? That is so beautiful, man. So John knew him. And you know what? John might have had a good idea there was something special about him. Right? But he did not know that he was God, because John, in the beginning of this book, right, makes absolutely clear. But man, he said, and John said, hey, I have seen and I testify that he is God's chosen one. John's got some good testimony in here. Amen? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away. I want you to think about that. John had this unique honor, and that was to reveal the Son of God, the Savior of the world, right? The one who would be and will be celebrated for all eternity. He had that honor to reveal him to the world. You follow me? To make straight the paths. And you know what? He did it in such a fantastic way. Think about it. John's out there doing his thing, baptizing. Here comes Jesus walking by, and here's how he does it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want you to think about something. What if God tasked you with that? Oh, wait a minute. He has tasked you with that. How do you introduce the world to Jesus Christ? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Huh? Do you have a plan for that? It's an honor and a privilege to introduce Jesus to somebody. Amen? You may not do it as good as John did. Right? Because that's pretty cool. You know what? I might even use that. Witnessing somebody. You know what I mean? I want to tell you about a guy named Jesus. And by the way, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen? The message would be in there, because that is the gospel. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Is that up there? Behold, I think it's up there, verse 23. 29, yeah. Behold. And in the NIV it says look. But look doesn't do it justice. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and my sin. Amen? The sin of the world. All right. Let's go on to 35 through 51. All right, we're going to read a lot here. You got your ears on? You got your ears on? Don't just listen. You got to hear. You got to hear. All right? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, what? Look, the Lamb of God. Man! When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, what do you want? Or what, in New King James, what do you seek? I want you to think about that. Can you picture that in your mind? Because my mind works like that. Jesus is walking by. He can hear John the Baptist say, hey, the Lamb of God. and two of John's disciples take off from him and began following Jesus, right? So Jesus stops and turns around. What are these two doing, man? They are seeking the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what is his question? What'd you come here this morning seeking? Come on. You came here to seek the Lord, you'll find the Lord because the Lord is here. But if you came here looking for encouragement, I want you to know that's what Jesus is asking you. What is it you're here this morning? What do you seek? Because he has the answer to whatever you seek this morning. You follow me, right? You need encouragement. He's here to give it. You need peace. He's here to give it. You need joy. He's here to give it. You need the joy of your salvation returned to you. He's here to give it. What do you seek? Amen. Oh, when you're in prayer, right? Isn't it almost like God saying, what do you want? Oh, I just want to spend some time with you, Lord. Let you know I appreciate you. Let you know I love you. And, you know, put these prayers and petitions before you. What do you want? What do you seek? These are the words I want you to hear. Amen? Because these are the words that God says to you every single day. We just don't hear them. What do you want? Lord, I want to find a different avenue to serve you. I want to know what my gifts are so I can apply them in ministry. Lord, but we don't ask those questions, do we? What do you seek, man? What do you want? I love that question. And I love it in the context in which it's happening, where two of John's disciples leave John and follow Jesus. And I can picture this just as in my mind as clear. What do you seek? That's what he's asking you today. What do you seek? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent what? The entire day with Jesus. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had, who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So listen, there were two disciples here, but we only know the name of one. So we know how Andrew came to Jesus. You follow me? He was an apostle. And here we know, and here we find out how Andrew came to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. The first thing, everybody say the first thing.
First thing.
Oh, I'm impressed with this guy. I am. He spends all day with Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, which when translated is what? The rock. The rock. And listen, he would be a mushy rock for a while. He would be like clay, but that he would turn into a rock, would he not? Just by hanging out with Jesus. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. All these are our apostles, right? He said to him, follow me. What? That's it? Remember Matthew? He was at his tax collector's office, standing there. Jesus is walking by. He said, follow me. Matthew shut down that tax collector's office and never went back and followed Jesus Christ. That's how Philip got called. He just said, follow me. Man, you know what? Is God telling you that this morning? Is he just saying, hey, follow me. Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. Are you seeing a pattern here? Philip found Nathanael and told him this. Now listen, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. Do you see how all these scriptures tie together? All this whole book is one big picture. And the more you learn it and the more you know it, the bigger, the more of the picture that you can see. Amen? And the more faith that you will have. Ah, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We know Jesus was from Nazareth because he was running from Herod, right? And ended up in Nazareth for a while. Now here's what Nathanael said. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nazareth clearly didn't have a very good reputation, did it? I would mention some towns or cities, but I don't want to pick on anybody. Amen? But clearly, Nazareth did not have a very good reputation. And when he says that, he says, what did he say? He said, we have found the one, the prophet that Moses wrote about. And he says, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he says, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I want you to see something. Philip didn't argue with him. What did he say? He just said, come and see. Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, now pay really close attention to this. It's a beautiful picture if you've got a mind that sees that. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in which there is no deceit. It's beautiful. You know why? Jesus knew everything about that man before that man even came. Everything about that man. You understand what I'm saying? And Jesus is letting him know that he knew. Right? What a great picture, man. But I think it gets a little bit better. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. That's a fair question. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Again, Jesus wants to see something about himself. He knows you. He knows everything about you, and he sees all things. Amen? Now, what do you think Philip was doing there, or Nathanael was doing there? Often Jews would go and find a solitary place to carry out what Moses said in Joshua. Does anybody know what that is? To meditate on the Scriptures day and night. I really don't think that he was over there taking a nap. I really think that he was over there meditating on the Word of God. And I think when he says there, I saw you while you were under the fig tree, I think that is he's kind of pointing to the fact that's what he was doing, or he was doing something special while he was under the fig tree, because he said, here comes a man, what? In which there is no deceit. You following me so far? All right. Well, at least one of you is. Then Nathanael declared, what did he declare? You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that. Did he? Yep. Oh, man, did he. Demons raised, people raised from the dead, lepers cleansed, right? He saw greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and then descending on the Son of Man. We'll come back to that. But I want to show you something here. In what we read here, the section here shows us four fantastic ways of coming to Jesus. I want to put these names on the board. Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. You follow me? You see the four names? Andrew came to Jesus because of the preaching of John. Behold, the Lamb of God. They peeled off and went and followed Jesus. Am I right? Peter came to Jesus because once his brother found out who Jesus was, the first thing he did was go and tell his family. You follow me? Philip came to Jesus as a direct call from Jesus, right? What did he say? I wish he'd have done me that way. He could have saved me a whole lot of problems and trouble. You know what I'm saying? Man, anybody, did he say that to anybody in here? Anybody? Nobody? Huh? Oh, man. All right. Nathaniel. Oh, Nathaniel. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So, listen, he overcame a personal prejudice. And the way he overcame that personal prejudice was by a personal encounter with Jesus. You follow me? You see these four ways? These are beautiful, man. These are absolutely beautiful. How God did this. How he started here with Nathanael and it ends up Nathanael telling Peter and him calling Philip and Philip going and telling Nathanael and Nathanael overcoming his prejudice by a personal appointment and an encounter with Jesus Christ. And all these people, all four of these would what? Become apostles. And that's a huge word because they're the ones that Jesus entrusted with laying down the gospel after he left. And you know what? It's because of these 12 that we have the gospel today. Amen? Ooh, it's always good to see how they got their start. Something else I want to show you because it shows us four different ways to testify about the identity of who Jesus was. Now listen, all these people understood who Jesus was. Do you understand who Jesus was? Then you should be able to answer a question when I ask you, who is Jesus? Right? It's a simple question. Who is Jesus? If you get that question wrong, your salvation is no good. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have Jesus wrong, all of your theology is wrong. All right. I want to put these four names on the board. John the Baptist. What was his testimony? Jesus is the one in whom I've seen the Spirit come down and land on. So because of that, he's the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Amen? He also said that he is the chosen one. And he also said, of course, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a testimony, right? How about Andrew, man? Andrew testified that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Christ. Remember when he went to Peter? He said, come on, Peter, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. What a testimony there from Peter. Philip testified that he is the prophesied one in the Old Testament. Right? Philip, Jesus is just walking by. And he says, follow me. And Jesus, when he gets to Nathanael, he says, hey, we have found the one that Moses talked about, that prophesied about. We found that prophet. Amen. And Nathanael, after Jesus talked to him about there is no deceit and I saw you under the tree, Nathanael declares his testimony that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. Do you understand what's going on here? When these people realize who Jesus is, they can't help but testify about who Jesus is. Rivers of flowing of water will flow from those who have the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let me just read 50 and 51 to you, and then we'll be wrapping it up. Because this has really boggled the mind of scholars and theologians down through the centuries, why Jesus would say this in this particular context. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. So where do you find that in the Scripture? Where do you see that in the Word of God? Well, you have to go, the only place where it talks about heaven opened up and angels ascending and descending is in Genesis chapter 28, all right? And that's when Jacob was running from his brother Esau. And he's running from his brother Esau because, well, he just stole his birthright, right? And his brother Esau really wanted to kill him, right? He wanted to take him out. So he takes off and as he's running, he came to Bethel. And man, he was so scared and he was so tired. The Bible says he got a rock as a pillow and he laid his head on it and he began to dream. In that dream, he saw the Lord of heaven standing at the top of a stairway, or if you got the New King James Version, it's the ladder, right? And the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Amen? Let me read that to you in Genesis 28. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Can you picture that? Now, one of the versions says ladder, so whether you want to picture, I like the stairway. The stairway to heaven? Jacob's ladder, you know where all that came from now? But man, so picture it. It goes from the earth to heaven. Are you following me? And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. And that's where he promised, again, that land, that promised land, to his descendants, all right? So what is Jesus saying here? He's essentially saying, I am the ladder, I am the stairway. I am the one who connects earth and heaven. Are you following me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except on this ladder or climbing this stairway. Amen? So really what he's saying here is that Jesus, the Son of God, is the link between heaven and earth. And he is that ladder, or he is that stairway, and that he is the only way to get to heaven. Amen? When you read this, it seems like a very obscure, kind of out of place something for Jesus to say here. But here's what I believe. Here's what I think. It was extremely important for Nathanael, because here, when I read this and I put myself in this situation, in this picture, in this context, and I can stand back and I can watch and I can see Nathanael under the tree and he's meditating on the Word of God, and Philip goes and gets him, and Jesus says, in this man there is no deceit. So I want you to know something. He is speaking directly to Nathanael when he says this. And it may seem unimportant to you and I, but I'm telling you, it was extremely important to Nathanael. And here's why I say that. Because I think it's very possible that it was this portion of Scripture that Nathanael was meditating on while he was under the fig tree. You follow me? Because this was meant for him. This was meant for him. And it just really fits in the picture as God, as he's coming towards Jesus. And Jesus says, in this man I find no deceit. And I've seen you. I've seen you. What does it mean, I've seen you? I've seen everything about you. I've seen everything that you were doing while you were under the fig tree. Amen? And I truly believe it's possible that is the very scripture that Nathanael was meditating on when Jesus saw him underneath that fig tree. Amen? Can I prove that to you? No. I sure can't. Huh? But man, it makes sense to put that verse in context, because it seems just like a, you know, obscure verse. But God does nothing by mistake. And when I read this, and I read it over and over and over and over, when Jesus is saying those words, he's speaking right to Nathanael. Right? Those were meant for Nathanael. Just like when he spoke to Philip, follow me. That was only meant for him. Those words were meant for Nathanael. And they were special to Nathanael. Amen? So there you have it. The testimony of John the Baptist. What does John say? He is the chosen one. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one that God told me was the chosen one, because he is the one the dove came down on while he was baptizing. Amen? And the calling and the testimony of the first disciples, apostles, and what their testimonies were absolutely fantastic. Amen? Come, Peter, we have found the Christ, the Messiah. Philip said, hey, we have found the one that Moses prophesied about. Nathanael said, hey, we have found the Son of God and the King of Israel, and all those things are true. Amen? I hope you never read this chapter again like you used to, because those questions in the beginning, they weren't just questions. They were important questions. Questions in which they had the truth. Have you ever read something and thought it didn't apply to you? Huh?
Yep.
And then later found out it did apply to you? Come on, sometimes we have the truth right in front of us. But because of justification, or because we don't want to see what the truth is, amen? Yep. You know, all those pet sins that you and I have in our life, it's not that we don't know the truth about them. It's that we don't want to see or recognize the truth about them. Come on. Amen. Testimony. What's your testimony? If you got to introduce Jesus to somebody tomorrow, what are you going to say? And these disciples, the way he called them, man, the way he set it up, and it just happened in that chain reaction, is absolutely a beautiful picture, what he shows us there, right? How he called each one differently, and how each one, after they were called, had a testimony. Do you got a testimony?
Amen.
I got a testimony. One of these days I'll share it with you. If you would, stand up. I don't know how God's talking to you this morning, but listen, I mean, that's just some good word right there, you know, trying to understand the Bible and understand some of the things that God wants us to see. And I truly believe I could go back in a couple of weeks and read through that those 33 verses again, and God would show me something else.
Amen.
Amen? And maybe he showed you something else. But here's the deal. What did God speak to you today? What did God say to you? Did he show you anything? If you didn't see anything else, I want you to see this. Jesus came exactly the way God said he would. Amen? He came because in Isaiah chapter 40, 600 years before John the Baptist came, he came and he said the exact same thing that he was supposed to say. And he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Come on. Jesus was that prophet that Moses spoke about 1,500 years that everybody looked for during that 1,500 years. And we know that because we see the absolute truth of that in Acts chapter 3. Jesus is that prophet. He is God. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is a lot of things. You know that?
Amen.
I mean, he is, I bet there's 100 different names that you could give Jesus that are in this book right here. Amen? Last thing, what's your testimony? I'm just telling you that when you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he's done for you what you think or you believe he's done for you, then you'll testify to that fact. You will testify to that fact. You will want to share that with everybody. Am I right, Hal? I mean, dang. And maybe you say, I'm scared. Maybe, then listen. What do you want? What do you seek? You seek boldness? Here it is. Come and get it. God says, you come, ask, seek, knock, and I'll give, and the door will be open. You want boldness? But be careful what you ask for, because you might look like that crazy person tomorrow. Huh? Telling everybody about Jesus. Telling everybody about what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
Amen? What do you need this morning? What do you need? What do you seek? Listen to me. I just want you to know that Jesus is here to give it to you. All right? In his will and in his way. But that's always the best. So whatever that is, I'm going to pray. We're going to open up this time of invitation. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Bruce will pray with you. Mama Jay will pray with you. Tracy will pray with you. Amen? You need somebody to pray with you. But listen, don't leave the same way you came. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for this time that we've had. And Lord, we thank you that your spirit is here. And Father, we thank you for these 33 verses. And Lord, just the truth and the layers that are in there. And Father, we thank you for John the Baptist. And of those born of women, Lord, none have risen greater than John the Baptist. Born with the Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you for the prophecy about him that we can clearly see that was fulfilled. Thank you for these four disciples, Lord, that would certainly have some issues that would come to the realization of who you are and change their lives forever. Who would give their lives for you, Lord. Lay them down for you. Lord, there are people here this morning who need something from you. And your words are this morning, what do you seek? I just pray this morning they would come and get with you. And find the answer, Lord. Because I absolutely believe you still speak to your children. Every day, all day. Thank you for that, Lord. I love you, Lord. I commit this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.